Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday afternoon, still laughing. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe to the call for This Is What I Know, Elijah Campbell.
That was good.
Your thoughts? Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, Elijah just this guy just walked in and claiming to be Elijah's attorney. So that was fast, by the way.
By the way, he did create quite the discussion. We had people tweeting us kind of some models. I felt like the ones that I looked at that were tweeting at us, I think Nate is the one who had the closest one to being, I felt like it was accurate to what we were talking about. Did anybody see anything different? And when I looked at them, I didn't see a lot of craziness. I do think it does create maybe in some cases a little bit of distance that can't be made up and maybe would create some boring finishes.
Right.
But overall, I still think 3-2-1 is the way to go. But anyway, that was a great call on Friday. Let's head east. Let's check in with Vince Ferrar from the Sports Animal there in Knoxville, WNML. Quite a weekend for the baseball team. They just continue to roll along as the baseball season is rolling along here on May 10th. They swept Missouri. I mean, honestly, they're 37-11. They're 17-7 in the SEC. They're first in the East. I guess they're tied first overall with Arkansas. I guess what everybody's really trying to figure out, just because Tennessee hasn't been in a spot like this, I mean, it has been a lot of Vanderbilt domination, a lot of Florida domination. I mean, there's just been a lot of other teams who have dominated in the conference or the division. And, you know, everybody's trying to figure out, like, okay, like they have been spectacular this year, but ultimately when they get in the SEC tournament, ultimately when they get, you know, in the NCAA tournament, how are they going to stack up now that they've played almost 50 games? Like, how for real is this team in your opinion?
Well, good to be on with you guys. I think they are for real because, like I've told you guys before, I don't think they have a glaring weakness. They also could very well have the National Coach of the Year with Tony Vitello and staff continuity. They have not had a single change to their assistants or their top volunteer coach the entire time, all 4 years that Tony Vitello has been there. And that's hard to do in a lot of sports. And when you are doing it on a high level and you have everybody together with the staff continuity, and they clearly develop players. There are tons of players that have gotten better in their time in this program. And they didn't even have the SEC season last year to take a step that they naturally would. So, I mean, this is basically three years, basically like it's the third SEC year for Tony Vitello. And for him to be at this position as quickly as they have been, considering what he inherited and having to remake the roster and doing so much to change the winning ways and mindset, to recruit on a pretty nice level, not Vandy Florida level, but who does? And to do that without those guys, it is without that level of recruiting and to remake the roster and everything, and not have the facilities that most of rest of the league has, it's been incredibly impressive. And I think they do have a lot of the ingredients, but you know, you always wonder because guys, they haven't made it to the SEC tournament every year. When they have, the last 4 years they've been one and done. So, but this is a completely different team. But you want to get past that. And I think this team has the ability to do it. So maybe there's a natural step in, you know, making a run in the SEC tournament they hadn't done before, and then maybe getting to a super regional. We'll see. But right now they're playing on a level of Omaha ability. And unless something changes, I think they do have a great chance. It'll come down to whether you host and opponents and all that. But I do think they have the qualities to go that deep.
I've lost track of the turnstile ADs they've had there in the last decade. Whose hire was this?
This was John Curry's hire.
John Curry. So. Well, he should get a lot of props for that one. That
oh, was, I'm sure. The fan so, base is quick to give John Curry lots of credit
absolutely.
For that
absolutely. I know.
Such
that,
a yes. popular guy.
Probably put him back on your Christmas list for card. that was a big to-do when we talked to you the week leading up to Tennessee hosting Vanderbilt. And they had really good attendance, as Tim Corbin talked about afterwards. What are they expecting? Now they get Arkansas. How big of a series is this coming up?
It's a great question on what the capacity might be. We're already starting to hear from fans and people saying, hey, open things up. Even former players are saying they better open things up. Because to my count, there are three SEC schools that are in baseball that are 100% capacity. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and I think LSU just went to 100. Arkansas is 66%. And that surprises me a little, not because it's not safe or any of that kind of stuff, but because the NCAA is still at least recommending at this point 50% capacity for postseason tournaments in baseball and softball. So do you ratchet it up to 100% or 75 or whatever, and then you have to bring it back to 50 for the postseason? That seems kind of odd. But I don't know that it was a mandate by the NCAA, so maybe that's their way of some schools saying, screw you, I don't care what you recommend. We're doing this, and we're packing the house and getting an advantage. And it'll be interesting to see. I haven't heard anything official. It's something to dig into this week. I don't know what Danny White's intention is. I know they upped it a little bit for that Vandy series. We'll see if there's any adjustment. I would guess that there is somewhat of an adjustment, but going all the way up to wide open 100% capacity, I would be surprised at that. But look, this is the last regular season series, and then it's the postseason. They're at South Carolina next weekend. And this will be, once again, just like it was for the Vanderbilt series, it will be the marquee series in college baseball, no question. Vandy is at Ole Miss. That's a very good one as well. But based on the rankings, 1 versus 4, depending on your poll, there's none better. The two teams, as you mentioned, Darren, at the top of the standings in the Southeastern Conference. Tennessee hasn't been in first place in the SEC at this point in the season since 2005. So it's incredible. And there's a long, long list of other things they've done for the first time in a long time, or one of the few teams that have done it in Tennessee's history or since they went to a 30-game schedule. I won't bog everybody down with all those numbers, but it will be incredible what's all at stake this weekend and the excitement for it. Oh, by the way, Tony Vitello's school that he came from. Now, in Arkansas. Now, it's not the first meeting against his former school in Arkansas where he was an assistant. They played in 2019. Tennessee was swept in Fayetteville. So this is the first time he gets to host Dave Van Horn and that program that's still continuing to roll. And how about the two teams combined? They've won 15 of 16 series in the SEC this year. Arkansas has not lost a series, and Tennessee's only lost the one to Vanderbilt. Will be big time. It'll be interesting to see if they do anything with the attendance.
The SEC is stacked and packed yet again in baseball. So, you got to start with the regionals. You can't talk about super regionals because that's premature. But the regional hosts, I mean, how confident are they that they could be a regional host? Or are they?
Well, I think so. Based on their success that they're having this year, being highly ranked, they certainly have they don't have the palace that a lot of the other ballparks do, but for a regional, it's plenty good enough. I mean, there's others, whether it's when they try to expand or give a program that's worthy in Big Ten country or out west. Lindsey Nelson Stadium in Tennessee's facility is plenty good enough compared to some of the venues that do get them. When in the past, when they've warranted them, then I think Tennessee should get it. And depending on what their factors are for selecting, predetermining the super regional host, I think Tennessee, if they continue to stay in the top five, they could very well earn one for super regionals. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. It could really be a mess potentially if they do it based on venue. And now you have, if they pick someone that typically gets to the super regionals and then they don't, that team doesn't advance, then now that super regional host is going to host two teams, neither of which is playing in, plays in that home ballpark. So then they have to travel to get to that park because you've predetermined it. The reason why they're doing it is to give everyone the advance time to be able to get all their ducks in a row and plan it and do all the safety measurements and things like that. But then you're adding travel potentially for teams, and you're going to struggle with attendance potentially based on how those teams end up getting there. So there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered on how that works. But Tennessee should be in the mix, at least of the 20 teams that they're going to announce as options later this week. It was supposed to be announced early this week. They pushed it back to later this week, and then they'll pare it down just before the selection show when we find out who's in the tournament.
That is a really interesting wrinkle because, as we know, Vince, the baseball postseason, it has been so catered to the teams that can earn, and they earn it, right? The home field advantage, yep, throughout the tournament. The national seed is a big one. Hosting the regional is big, but being in the top eight, knowing that you would host all the way, is huge. It's huge. It doesn't mean you can't make it if you don't play at home, but now,
right,
neutral site. I mean, that's a very interesting concept for a super regional. I don't think we've ever seen that before, have we?
No, not any time recently since they, with this format of the way they do the regionals and super regionals.
Right.
By the way, Tennessee has never hosted a super regional in this current format. Mm. Now, there was back in the day, they used to do sort of the Mid-East type of deals where they would basically have six games and it would be kind of a combined effort. So in this current format, though, Tennessee is only host regionals and not a super regional. So we'll see if they do go based on the teams I think are the most likely to get there. But my understanding, the way they worded it, is predetermined regional and super regional sites. Mm. Unless they change that and then they decide, all right, look, this is so close. Well, this regional site is equipped to do it. So if they end up hosting a super regional, then they'll be able to do it as a super regional host as well. I don't know if they'll adjust that, but I think that would be a lot better than predetermining those super regional sites and adding travel, and that could get really tough.
Something to keep our eye on for sure. Vince Ferrara is with us, Sports Animal over in Knoxville, getting the Tennessee update. It's official now. Henry To'oto'o goes to Alabama. So now that it's done, and Vince, I'm sure in your circles you've talked about this backwards and forwards, but, I mean, the rich get richer here, huh?
No doubt. And he's a guy that nearly chose Alabama to begin with. And many people thought he would go to Alabama to begin with, but he chose Tennessee, and he had a terrific freshman year, second leading tackler. And last year he lost some weight in the off season, tried to muscle up a little bit, even though he lost weight, wanted to be more effective in pass coverage and getting sideline to sideline. I don't know that it made him more effective. I think that there was times where he struggled getting off blocks and, you know, was maybe pushed around a little bit, offensive lineman getting to the second level and reaching him. But, you know, look, a lot of that was because he didn't have a whole lot of help around him. And he will have that help at Alabama. And then also coaching. What kind of development did he have? What kind of responsibilities were on his lap that maybe shouldn't have been, if other people and coaches could have pulled their weight? He's going to be coached by the DC and also the inside linebackers coach of Pete Golding. And so obviously there's going to be a ton of talent, and I think you will see him play well there, especially if he earns a roster spot, if he earns a starting spot.
I was going to say, surefire starter there, would you project, or is he going to have to, like, earn his way? Because we know Alabama's going to have a lot of competition there.
I would not call him a surefire starter. They have Jalen Moody at that position, who's very similar in size. I think they're pretty much the same, 6'2", 225. So I wonder what they will do with Toto in terms of size, whether they try to put some weight on him in the offseason, bulk him back up a little bit, or if they like him at that weight. So I don't think it's an absolute. I would give him a great chance, because Nick Saban has said, and talking about the transfer portal not that long ago, that, look, when you bring in guys, it's because you think they can be better than the guys you have. And I think that's very telling. And so Alabama, of course, can have their pick of whoever they want, and they can, you know, the rich get richer with the transfer portal and nitpicking, you know, and cherry-picking who they want. So they wanted him. They must have a lot of confidence in him. That's kind of the thinking with Joe Milton at coming to Tennessee. If they're going to bring him in at this point, then they must really think he can be the guy. Now, obviously, it's different from a talent level standpoint, but I think he can. In that situation, I think you'll see a better Henry Toto than you did at Tennessee last year.
So, Vince, there would have been a time back in the day, and I remember – maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but it seemed like there was a rumor, and Darren, maybe you can help me with this, and Vince, you could remember this too. Tim Couch, when he was at Kentucky, was there not like a rumor that maybe he would transfer and maybe Tennessee would want him? Like, if that were to have happened, whether that was actually a real thing or not, I can't remember exactly. I just remember philosophically talking about a guy changing teams within the league, and what a huge story it was at that kind of time, just the thought of it. Now, it's going to become routine. So I'm just wondering, in the context of, you know, in Knoxville, in the Tennessee circles, right, is Henry T, I mean, a likable guy, great player, are they bitter at him for going across to the rival Alabama? Or is it just kind of like, this is kind of the way it goes now. We might get one of their guys.
No, I think there are plenty of fans that were not happy that he left, and because he's going to the rival, people are going to hate him, because if you're at Alabama, fans are going to hate you. You know, whether they're outward about it or how much they are, that will vary. But no, fans will view him as part of the enemy now. And you know, his dad had comments that weren't kind towards Tennessee when he left, and he was very popular. So you know, when you have some emotional investment in a player or in a person, and then you deem them as doing you wrong, that enhances that disappointment and negative emotion on the other side. So yeah, I do think that's a big issue. And look, he seemed like he was loyal to his previous coaches in Jeremy Pruitt and, you know, Brian Niemeyer, who was very key to bring him out from California. Those guys were gone and wanted to move on. So, you know, it's just part of the deal today. Now, we'll see what the SEC does. I would expect them to be able to waive that SEC interconference transfer thing. If the NCAA is going to let you transfer, pretty silly for the SEC to not do it when other leagues are letting you transfer within their own league. But I think we'll see when the NCAA decides that this summer, when the SEC makes a determination on that at some point here in the late spring or early summer. But I think he's going to Alabama with the anticipation that he's going to be able to eligible to play this year. Tennessee has one player from an SEC school that they got in one of their three transfers in the last week, in Mississippi State wide receiver Javonte Payton from there in the Nashville area, who, again, Tennessee was in the mix for, and he ended up going to JUCO at Mississippi State and now is at Tennessee. Tennessee's added 7 players in the transfer portal in this offseason. They've lost 22.
Well, I was going to ask you next, Vince, you know, to give us the scoreboard, right? So as you said it, right, they've added 3 since you were last on with us, 7 total, and 22 going out the other way. So, like, do you have a big old spreadsheet? Like, do you have this constantly up in the studio, in your house? Like, the scoreboard is constantly changing here. So how do you keep track of the portal? Do you have, like, a live look at the portal, people coming in and out of there? at all times.
Where is the portal? Yeah, is there a physical location for the portal? Can we get tickets to the portal? How does this work?
You can make some money, man.
Everything else
observe
is,
the portal.
It's online.
Oh.
It's online where everything else is. I have a Excel spreadsheet and it's a fluid situation. There's no doubt about that. So, it's crazy. And look, the coaching staff, they've got bios on everybody. So when they hit the portal, they've already got all the background. And let's be real as well. There's recruiting happening right now. Right. So everybody knows everybody's roster and has a breakdown, and they're trying to get guys to say, you know what, you're not getting a playing time, or, you know, why don't you come where closer to home, things like that. You know that is happening, behind the scenes with these players anyway. Nobody's been hit harder with the transfer portal than Tennessee, though. I mean, 22, there's more names than that in the transfer portal, but when you weed through it, there's walk-ons, there's guys that were kicked off the team, but you still land at 22 scholarship players that left from last year, and you've added 7 back. That doesn't even count 4 players that were let out of their national letter of intent from this year's signing class, and they've had a couple other players like a Sean Schamberger and D'Angelo Gibbs who hadn't played yet. He was a transfer from Georgia. That they're just gone. Like, they just left the team. They're not in the transfer portal. They just left. So it's a ton of turnover from last year's team, and it's kind of Tennessee is like the poster child of the transfer portal right now with so many players coming and going.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara from 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. And so, I have been one of those that have said, I think you get one. You know, one free and clear in your college career, and I think that, you know, it's obviously that's the way it is right now, and I think it's going to stay that way. So has your opinion of the transfer portal changed since it became so prominent, or where are you at?
It has, and let me slide this in some breaking news from UT. Danny White's announced that Tennessee baseball will expand to 100% capacity at Lindsey Nelson Stadium for this weekend series against Off-Break Arkansas.
All right.
So there you go. We got clarity on that. Man, that's going to be wild this weekend.
So they've raised it about 5%. I'm just joking because, I mean, it looked so full when we were watching the Vanderbilt series. It doesn't look like they had to turn it up that much to get to 100. Well, maybe it'll look different, but, man, I'm sure people will be just – beating each other up to get the tickets in the standing room there.
I've been here since 2010. I can't remember like a total overflow crowd for baseball. Maybe like after a spring game one year where it was like right after people came straight from Neyland and, you know, the weather was beautiful or something like that, but not many of the situations where they're going to have the overflow. But Chase, to answer your question, I don't like it as much because kind of like we talked about there, you know, there's recruiting happening, and, you know, we kind of expected that would happen. It's become sort of like a free agency, but, you know, you want to side with the student athletes with plenty of things that are against them. You want them to be able to right some wrongs. Unfortunately, I think a number of students are trying to right what's not wrong and use it as an excuse to move on. And if things like two Tennessee players suspended in the spring for something they got involved in and they hit the transfer portal and looking for a way out. And there are and another problem with it is there are so many kids that go to the transfer portal that don't find homes. So you think you're going to go get re-recruited and find another spot, but that's not guaranteed. So it you're seeing guys leave out of their scholarships, leave their scholarships to go find greener grass, and the grass is dead. It's not there. So it's tough. A lot of kids are getting left out because they think the transfer portal is the be-all, end-all. And it's not always that way. So we knew it could get ugly and have the unintended consequences, but you know, just the volume of how many players are going and going so quickly, I think it's tough. And then for even for Tennessee, there's so many guys you have to track and say you can connect the dots to guys on the staff and previous stops, but a number of them have issues. So they're in the transfer portal because they got in trouble, or you know, they missed time in the spring because of an incident or whatever. So you can't, it's not like you can just go find your next starting left tackle. You can't always find that level of clean, high-level player in the portal too, and it's just tough, and the rich get richer, and so that's, you know, that's not favorable, I think, for college football overall either.
You did a blog at 99.1thesportsanimal.com talking about the three Vols that have now moved on to the NFL. Obviously, Josh Palmer going in the third round to the Chargers. Trey Smith dropped to the sixth round and was picked up by the Chiefs. And then Bryce Thompson signed as an undrafted free agent with the New Orleans Saints. And you had some help with this from Charles Davis of the NFL Network and CBS Sports. But what did you what's kind of your take on these guys at the next level and what these teams are getting in them?
Well, one thing that Charles pointed out, and the Chiefs have been very open in saying this, is that they feel like they got a steal in Trey Smith. We'll see how it plays out from a medical standpoint, but
that's why he fell, right? It was all about the medicals and
yes,
teams being worried. Yeah.
And even though a lot of fans thought he, because you saw mock drafts earlier in his career of him being a projected first rounder, the NFL thought of him, if healthy, as a second round pick that fell to the sixth, not quite the first round pick. Now, part of that is because he didn't get a chance to practice as frequently and develop because of that while he was at Tennessee, because they were managing it. He still played pretty well and was their best lineman, but not quite as often. And in order for him to prove himself, he's going to need to practice in Kansas City. And look, during the season, you don't have as much hitting and things like that. The man leading up to that, he's going to have to be on the practice field because there's a ton of competition at guard. I think his best spot, potential to win a starting spot, is right tackle, actually, which he did play some tackle at Tennessee, but there are fewer numbers there. They've addressed all the other positions in free agency starting along the line, and they're very deep at guard with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif coming back from opting out. And they have fewer guys. They have two guys, third-round pick Lucas Niang and Mike Remmers, who was a backup last year as your right tackle option. He has a great shot to potentially win that spot. The Chiefs evaluated him at tackle, so they know he can play there. And I think at least short-term would be comfortable with him if he was to win that spot. But he's got to be able to be healthy and have a plan to be able to practice. And Josh Palmer is a similar receiver to what they had there already in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And he's obviously going to play for a much higher level quarterback with the Chargers. And then Bryce Thompson, because they're still looking for options in the secondary, he has a chance to make that team. They've always done well with undrafted free agents. The numbers aren't big at the cornerback spot, even if they do end up with you know, their top two being established. I think he has a great shot to make that team, and he can give you some value on special teams as well. So really dove in all that, and Charles talked about, sent me his thoughts on all of them, which is really cool. So everybody checks that out at 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
We will do it for sure. Vinny, always good to talk to you. Appreciate it as always, and we'll do it again next Monday at high noon.
Yep, always enjoy it. You guys are the EST of sports talk shows.
Well done. Well done.
Have you explained that to Darren yet, what that means?
No, but I will. We had Adam Vingan on earlier, and I called him the head of the table, and he didn't get that either. So,
no, I didn't know. So what am I missing?
It's a wrestling reference.
Oh, okay.
So Bianca Belair, Bianca Belair, who is from Knoxville, went to UT, was a track star. She is the EST of WWE, the best, the all the ESTs.
Strongest. Fastest.
Yeah.
Vince, you will be proud. I've actually been watching, Chase and Willie know this, I've been watching the A&E, is it A&E, I believe they're being
biography.
Shown. Yeah, I've been watching the wrestling biographies. In fact, the Knoxville mayor is pretty prominent in one of them.
Yeah.
It's I forget which one it was.
It's the one where they're going. They're trying to find
Kane. It's with Kane. The one about Kane.
Yeah,
he's Kane, and they were going to try and find his original mask that he debuted in.
What is his name in Knoxville?
Glenn Jacobs.
Glenn Jacobs. Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, he is pretty. He's pretty prominent in one. So is he popular there? I'm assuming yes.
Yeah, he's accessible to the media as well. I mean, we've interviewed him on our station just dozens of times. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's great. Yep.
Chase?
He still easily will make an appearance with the WWE.
Okay, I need to...
The DDC, huh?
I need to get with you off the air, Vince, and get that contact. Make
you
that happen.
It. Anything for you guys.
All right. Thanks, Vinny.
Appreciate you.
Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal in Knoxville, joins us every Monday at noon here on the show. We'll have much more coming, but first, Willie is going to tell us about loans, and he's going to do it pronto.
Indeed I will, Chase. Nicely done. Loan Pronto, big sponsor of our show now. Forget everything you know about getting a home loan, because it's all changed. And so if you'd asked me that question, what do you know about getting a home loan, I would say, yeah, it's worth it, but man, is it a pain. That's not the case anymore. Loan Pronto wants you to know it's new, it's faster, it's easier, less expensive. It's a great way to get a new home loan or refinance your current mortgage. Get that mortgage payment down. Save money. Loan Pronto promises lower rates. All digital process now. Streamlined. No junk fees. So if your current mortgage is over 3%, you can refinance now. Snag a better rate. Loan Pronto is going to cover all of those closing costs and lower that house payment with the zero cost refi. You hear me talking about this every day. Zero cost refi. Call now and learn more about it. 615-499-5780 for Loan Pronto. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Ask about the incredible VA loan rates that are also available. They make it easy. If you refinance now, you can skip your next two house payments altogether. So make the call, 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Ask about that zero-cost refi. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. No cash refi, not available on all loans.